Welcome to this week's podcast from Free Chapel in Orange County. We hope that you enjoy this encouraging message. For more information on our church family, visit freechapel.org/OC.
Well, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me now to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to jump into this, back into this little series that we've been looking at. I'm just going to share a couple different thoughts. The Lord this week has sort of had me in these couple of verses that I want to read, and hopefully we can walk away with something that we can apply to our life. That's the way I want us to, whenever it comes to God's word, I want us to always look at God's word with a heart that's open, but also a heart that is ready to apply what I learn. Because it's only when I apply God's word to my life, then it becomes powerful in my life. If I just allow God's word to be something that I just read to tick a box or to make me feel good or just something that I can just tweet to show my Christian friends that I'm still saved, then it doesn't affect any change in my life. But I only get to see really how powerful God's word is when I put action to it, because faith without what works is dead. So when I actually apply it to my life, I'm putting action to that faith, and I now get to see the power of God. There is nothing that will stir your heart more than actually seeing the power of God outworked through your own life. It's one thing to see it outwork through a preacher or through an evangelist or through your grandmother or your mum that you know prays, but when you start to see it outwork through your own life, it stirs something in you. And the enemy does not want you to see that. The enemy is okay for you to see it outworked in someone else's life. But the last thing he wants you to do is for you to start to see the power of God activated in you and through you in your day-to-day walk. That's when communities start to change. That's when cities are transformed. When regular, everyday people realize that through the eyes of Jesus, there is nothing normal about me. And I may look in the mirror and see normal, and you may look at me with my just normal gifting and my everyday looks, but there is something in me that God has put in me that is far from normal. It is supernatural. And when you understand that, you will activate the power of God in your life in a way like you never have before. But we have to recognize that God's put something in me that he wants me to walk out. And I want us to look at these few words and these few verses with that as an understanding. And Paul says in Colossians, remember last week we talked about, if you were here, not last week, the week before last, we talked about what it was to be seated with Christ. Hand up if you were here when we talked about that. If you weren't, then we'll pray that you get to heaven anyway. But those of you that weren't here, we talked about what it was to be seated with Christ. And we talked about the fact that while we are here now on this earth, spiritually, I have a position in heaven that actually changes the way in which I live here on earth. And so Paul says then, if then you were raised, remember, because we're seated with Christ, if then you're raised with Christ, he says, seek those things which are above, say above. He says, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. He says, set your mind on things, say it again, above. Say it like you're awake. Say, set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. For remember, you died and your life is hidden, or your life is concealed with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. He's saying to these believers, he's saying to them that based upon your position in Christ Jesus, your perspective should be different. And today what I want to talk is, I want to talk to us surrounding that idea. And I just want to talk simply about the way we see things. The way we see things. Because I want to suggest to you that the reason why many of us at times feel defeated is not because of what we see, but it's because of the way in which we see it. And in church, often we talk about a lot about praying that things in front of us, or things that we're facing, or things that surround us. We talk a lot about praying and believing and praising and worshiping in a way that causes those things to change. Don't we? Isn't that sort of, that's sort of like a bit of a sort of goal that we sort of have in our minds a little bit. You know, all right, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes in my mind, I sort of get caught up in this way of thinking that if I pray and if I worship and if I praise enough and I do it the right way, then the things in my life that suck will change. Okay? If you don't want to raise your hand, nod at me just a little bit if you sometimes feel like that. That's how I feel sometimes. And so I do those things only to find that sometimes they change, but sometimes they don't. And then they stay the same. And then I start to think that I'm not praying enough, worshiping enough, or praising enough, right? And I think, well, I need to do what I was doing before, but I just need to do it more. Okay, and then we do it more, not at me, if you know what I'm saying. Then we do it more, don't we? And then it still doesn't change. And then we not only do we do it more, we now do it different. So we add more passion to it and we get more committed and we go to church more and we get connected in a small group more and we start praying in the Spirit more and we start doing more and more and more and more, and then things don't change. And then we go through this cycle in our Christian walk with this almost like this idea, this falsified idea that one day if I just keep doing all of these things, that this stuff is going to change. And we spend our entire walk with the Lord waiting for it to change. And it's, as I spell it out to us this morning and unpack it in that way, we realize that it doesn't sound like a great way to live, does it really? Does that sound to you like freedom? I don't know about you, but that sounds to me like bondage a little bit. It doesn't sound to me like that is John 10:10, life to the full. That sounds to me like life to the full is this far distant mystical vision that one day I'll achieve if I do all of these things enough. I think that's not walking in the freedom that Jesus hung on a cross that I could have. Remember, Jesus hung on a cross and said, it's finished, which means that thing is done. So then my question to us is, where are we getting this thing wrong? Because as I look at my life and I realize that I'm doing that same thing at times, I'm challenged and I'm faced with the fact that perhaps I'm still trying to do this thing in my own effort. And I'm still trying to measure up, and I'm still trying to establish a strong enough prayer life and a worship life and a praise life to change things in my life that I want changed. And I think that's such a minimalistic vision to have of what it means to be saved. And what Paul is talking about here is he's not talking about what they see around them, but he's talking about the way in which they see it. And this is what it means to live your life with an eternal perspective. perspective. If you came to church today with three keys on how to make your life better, I'm real sorry, maybe come back next week. Because that's not what I'm going to give you. But I am going to give you a perspective, a way to look at your life that you can see your life and things that come your way that do suck and understand them from a perspective of victory that helps you to see that it actually doesn't matter what happens to me or around me, that I will always walk in victorious and live unaffected by it. Now that to me sounds like freedom. When you think of the verses that we read about in this scripture and that we know so often, but we almost forget the power of them and how powerful it can be to our life and the life God's called us to. When he says that he works all things for the good of those who love him or of those who are close to him, then why would I focus more on the things that he could just work for the good? Why wouldn't I focus more about staying close to him? Because he works all things, not for everybody, only for the ones that are close, the ones that love him. So God's focus for my life is not to just make my life, quote unquote, better or without things that suck. No, God's focus for my life is to keep me close. Because if I stay close to him, then I'm untouchable. And the enemy can affect all manner of turmoil in my life and I can still live free. Because it's not what I see, it's the way that I see it. And if I understand that I'm not here, this is not my home. Heaven is my home. That everything that I go through, every challenge that I face, every difficulty, if it's affecting me, then the issue is not what I'm facing. The issue is my proximity to my Savior. And if it's starting to affect me, then it doesn't mean I need to fight harder. It means I just need to get closer. Because if I'm with him, if I'm walking with him, if I'm next to him, if I'm the same way he prayed for our life that we would live like this, that I would be in him and he would be in me just like he is in the Father. If I'm living in that way, there's no way, there is not a devil in hell that can touch you. And I say all that to say because I want to gather all of us spiritually and pull us into this place where we understand what it is to live in close proximity with our Heavenly Father and our Savior so that we can see things from a different perspective. This is what Paul is saying to them. He says, if you're raised, if you're seated with him, then set your desire, set your focus, set your passions on things that are above. Above. Let me ask you this question. What matters most in your day-to-day life? What matters the most? What's the goal? It's a good question to ask yourself continually. What's the goal of your life? What's the goal of your week? What's the goal of your day? And is your goal, is your focus upon that which is eternal? We all have those, you know, people that make like those lists. You know, normally we do it on like the first of the year. And we write down what we want to what we want to accomplish this year, what we want to achieve this year. We write down our goals, what we're going for. I want to use this verse. I want us to look at this verse, receive it as a challenge for our life. That Paul is saying to them, he says, let your, because of your seat, because of your position, don't let your goals, don't let your passions and desires be of this world. Don't let them be downward focused, but let them be upward focused. Focus upon those things which are what? Above, where Christ is. We know Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek what? Seek first his kingdom. We know it, seek first his kingdom. Seek first the things of God and all of these things will be added to our life. The problem with that verse is I think we use these things that he's going to add as a motivation to seek his kingdom. Don't we? I do. Sometimes I think I'm too honest with you. Sometimes I think you hear me a lot. This guy's not even saved. I'm not coming back next week. But I'm just helping you to see that just because I'm up here preaching doesn't mean I get it right every day. That I'm battling the same flesh that you are. And sometimes I wake up in the morning and I find myself motivated to seek his kingdom because of the things that he promises me he will add. But then the challenge becomes, if those things are not added, will I keep seeking his kingdom? Because it is revealed, my true heart is revealed when he denies me those things to just see if I'll keep pursuing him. Because his ultimate desire is to have me. That's his desire. And he wants that so much that he will deny me the things that my flesh wants. And you know what? He will even, and some of you will hate this, but it's true. He will even allow certain things of this world to fail you and to hurt you and to break you and leave you in pain if it means that you will seek him. Because if I seek him and I seek his ways, that's what the kingdom means, it's his way of doing things, then I get an eternal perspective on the things of this world. So that when I get tempted to lean upon the things of this world for support, the things of this world for security, for identity and for validation, if I'm seeking his ways, I realize that these things might be nice, but they cannot sustain. And people are great, and people are great to build with, but they're horrible to build on because they're a flawed foundation and there's nothing I can build my life on except the rock that is Jesus Christ. And even if people do fail me, what I've built will not fall because it was never based upon a foundation of people and of places and of things and of moments and of this stuff that money buys. No, it was based upon that which the world cannot touch and only Jesus can give me. And when I have that as my passion, that as my focus, I see things completely different. I see things completely different. And I get this perspective upon life that helps me keep my peace, helps me keep my joy. Because it's really not, I say my joy, but it's not my joy, it's his. But I only walk in his joy and his peace if I stay close. And the second I found this, the devil is such a punk. The second I just take a step away from him, in a second he comes at me. But if I stay close and I keep that peace that only he can give me, I keep that joy that only He can give me. That is not something that I just experience. It's something that I have imparted into me. That it's so deep down within my spirit that the things of this world can't touch it. That you can be in your deepest, darkest hour and still be in the bitterness of the challenges of life and grieving such pain and hurt, but still have this joy in your heart in knowing that I may be down, but I know I'm not out. That it may look like it's finished, but I know it's not over. That even if it ends in death, like Paul said, death, where is your sting? You have nothing on me. Even if you kill me, I still win. I mean, you think about that for a minute, and I dare you to try and not praise God. When you think about the fact that even if He kills you, you still win. I still win. This is what I'm talking about. This is the gospel. This is what it means to have Jesus. But we're not preaching the truth of it enough. We preach this surface, airy-fairy, butterfly, skittle gospel, just telling people that if you come to Jesus, your life will become great. No, sometimes life will suck the moment you meet Jesus. Because the moment you meet Jesus, you become a threat to hell. And I'm going to tell you, if you get saved today, you might have the worst day of your life tomorrow. How's that for an altar call? But I believe in Jesus enough to tell you that even if tomorrow is the worst day on this earth, you will still have the best day in heaven, knowing that you have something that tomorrow cannot take from you, because Jesus gives you something so much greater. Give Him 10 seconds of praise. Come on, like you're grateful, like you know that we have the greatest gift that is Jesus. It's Jesus. This is what He says. Paul knew this. Paul knew this. Paul had this perspective that when you read it, it's almost such an eternal perspective that it's almost frustrating sometimes to read, because you think this guy is just continually living in this place of praising God despite what's going on around him. Ephesians 1, verse 18, he says, this is what he's praying over this church in Ephesus. Paul's in prison. He's writing this letter to this church. And he says to them, hey guys, I'm praying for you. I'm in prison. And you know, life sucks, and things, this is not what Paul's saying, this is what we would be thinking. He's in prison, right? Things are not tracking very well for him at this point. Okay, let's just take a minute and let's really look at the perspective of the natural, of Paul's natural position. Okay, this is a preacher, a covering of the church, a dude's in prison. Okay, like that would be at that point, if you're in his church, you'd be starting to thinking, hey guys, maybe we need to find like another pastor, or maybe we need to rethink the direction of where we're all headed. You know what I mean? Like you want like your preacher, your pastor to give you some vision that moves you forward and encourages you. This joker's in prison, okay? In the natural. And he's praying for them and he says this. This is my prayer for you guys from prison. He says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. I pray that your perspective changes. Pray that you would see things different. That you may know what it is to be, I'm going to say it in my interpretation, what it is to be called by God, or what is the hope of his calling. Listen to these words. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? Talk about a contrast to what is surrounding him. This guy is in a dark, wet, rat-infested Roman prison. And his prayer is that they would know the riches of the glory of their inheritance in Jesus. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. I look at that and I had to just keep reading it to just let it get in my heart and in my spirit. I thought, as I read it, it's trust Paul to challenge us on that type of level. This one of the things that Paul like has this ability. The nice way to say it, to encourage me to do better. But the other way to say it is to just remind me that I've really got a long way to go. Because just when I feel like I'm doing good, I look at something like this and I think, oh my gosh, I've got such a long way to go. Because Paul's in prison and this is his prayer for the church. Like, you know, my prayer for the church would be, guys, I'm praying that you don't get caught. You know what I mean? Like, we'd be praying, God, I'm praying that you guys don't end up where I am. No. Paul says, no, I'm praying that you would see things different. Because if you can see things different, nothing that you experience or encounter or that surrounds you will be able to stop you. And you will start to, when you get a perspective of heaven for your life. What you focus on feeds you. And this is what he's saying in these verses. He says, focus on the things that are above. And then as you focus upon Jesus, as when Jesus really becomes, I mean really becomes, our focus, singular focus. When he becomes my focus, I start to get fed from him in a way that I haven't before, because we have him as a focus, along with multiple other things that we're focused upon. We're not going to work every day focused on Jesus. I'm telling you, I just know for the most part we're not. We're going to work every day focused on getting money, focused on a promotion, focused on building a business. But then we wonder why when we get those things, guess what happens? You're focused on the same thing, but just on the next level. Because when you get what you focused on last year, you actually want the same thing this year, just on the next level. And we wonder why we walk around unfulfilled. You know why I'm unfulfilled? Because I'm so full of everything else I'm focused on. And those things are unfulfilling. But when I come to him empty, that's where brokenness is sometimes your biggest blessing. Because I've experienced in my life at times certain things of this world had to break me to remind me that those things cannot fill me. And if I do let them fill me, I'm going to be unfulfilled anyway, and they're just going to take up space in my life that Jesus wants to fill. And the reason why we're not walking like Jesus, the reason why people are not looking at us and saying, that person reminds me of Jesus. Gandhi said this, I don't have a problem with your Jesus, I have a problem with your Christians. Gandhi said that. He said, because the Jesus, your Jesus that I read about is very different to the church that I see. I thought he's got a point. And so if we will just allow certain things, some of us are praying against things that we think the enemy is sending to break us, but God is actually allowing certain things because ultimately he wants to build us. And if we let them break us, we realize I can't fill my life with this stuff. I can't fill my life with a career. And I can't fill my life with trying to get security and validation from people. And I can't fill my life with all of these likes and all of this insecurity. I have to let all of it just fade away and empty myself and come to Jesus and then say, you are my focus. Will you fill me? And then when he does, we walk in an anointing that impacts the very life that we are living right now on this earth. Because I'm not influenced by it anymore. You know why you don't share Jesus enough with your work colleagues? Because fear of man influences you more than fear of God. That's what it is, isn't it? We're more concerned about how we're going to look to people that we work with than we are about where they might spend eternity. And it breaks my heart because I find myself in that same position. What if we emptied ourselves in such a way? Do you know how many prophetic anointings are sitting in this room right now? Do you know what? I know you think about prophecy as something that the pastor operates in from the pulpit at times, but do you know how many prophetic anointings are sitting dormant in this room right now simply because you don't have the space in your heart to hear with clarity what God is saying to you? And if you emptied yourself, if we emptied ourselves, the prophetic word of God would flow through you in a way that would be easier for you to speak than your own words. And you wouldn't be able to pick up a coffee from a Starbucks without speaking a prophetic word over somebody's life. And I'm not talking about some fruity religious lunatic that's just saying whatever comes to their mind to just scare people. I'm talking about something that builds up, encourages, and brings the Holy Spirit into somebody's life. My question, my challenge to all of us is just this. What if... what if we actually just did it? What if we just, for a second, listen, what if we woke up tomorrow and just said, screw it. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. Listen, what if we just woke up and said, you know what? I'm just going to live it. I'm going to live the word of God for the next 24 hours. Not even asking for a lifetime. I'm just saying, try it for 24 hours. Try and live this thing to the word on the page for 24 hours. Surrender your life. Die to yourself. Get in that place in prayer where you're on your face before God saying, God, mold me. Not on your face going, God, change this. But on your face saying, God, change this. So then this won't affect me. What if we woke up, we just said, God, would you mold me? God, would you shape me? God, would you fill me? God, guide me today. God, use me today. God, I pray that nothing else matters today except you. God, in every area of my life, in our marriages, in the way we parent, in the way we walk into work, down to the way I talk to the waiter at my table, God, I pray that you would use me today. I pray, Lord, that when people look at me, they would see Jesus. God, I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth, God, would be that which is positive, that which is uplifting, that which shines Jesus to everybody. God, I pray that I would be ruthless for my purpose, that I wouldn't allow people to speak into me that are going to affect what God's called me to do. Imagine if we believed it. Imagine if we lived it. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to heaven and think to myself, what if? I believe him, we're gonna make it. If you believe in Jesus, you're gonna make it. I'm not talking about that. But to me, the next worst thing to not making it to heaven is making it to heaven and wonder, what if I had have pursued heaven while I lived on earth? I wonder what God would have done in me. I don't want a single dream to die that he has called me to live. And do you know that he has that for each and every one of you? And you might think, Ben, I'm not gifted. I'm not. You think God would spend the time and the effort and the energy of forming you and shaping you and knowing every hair that is on your head, Scripture says. If he didn't think you had something, I want to tell you, you are exactly who you need to be. All you need to do is just empty yourself and focus on him. I want to tell you that God is never late. That you may be thinking to yourself that your time is done, you're too old. You look around perhaps in this church and think, oh, there's young people here. And Ben's always up there talking about young people. And it's just, no, no, no. Do you know how much we need you? I need people with years. You know what I've learned to appreciate now more than anything else? I'm 43. Now I learn to appreciate more than anything else, more than gifting and ability, is this: people that have years. Because when I'm in a battle, when I'm in a fight, I don't need the most gifted preacher. I don't need a dude that has the most followers. I don't need a dude who knows how to rhyme words and little quotes to tweet. No, no, no. I need somebody that's just got some years under their belt. Some people that have prayed some prayers. Some people that have fought some battles. I need some people that know what the inside of a hospital room looks like. I need some people that have had to stand and grieve and fight. I need people that have some bruises from battles on them and a couple scars they can tell me about. I need people that have years, and I want to encourage every person in this room that feels like you're too old. I need you. We need you. You may not have all of the outward passion and coolness that perhaps you see around, but I've learned, even in 43 years, I've learned how quickly that stuff fades. And people that just know how to worship with a depth where they understand it's not karaoke on a Sunday. They understand, I believe this thing, and I may sing out of tune and I may not be able to hold a note in a bucket, but I will sing this thing from my spirit and it'll bring a breakthrough. Right across this room, I'm going to close. I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to do a response this morning that's going to be different. It's going to be different. For some of you, it's going to be really challenging because you've been in church for many years. You've been in sermons and you've sung songs. But I do believe this morning that the Holy Spirit is convicting all of us on a deeper level. And I want to challenge you this morning to respond to Him. If you know in your heart that you need to recommit your life to Jesus again. I'm not suggesting at all that you're not saved. But what I'm challenging you in, based upon what I've preached today, because I've preached about what it is to focus solely upon Him. And there's many of you in this room right now and watching online that you haven't been doing that. It's not because you don't love Him. It's not because you don't want to live for Him. It's just because you've been distracted and now you're focused not solely on Him, but it's Him amongst many other things. And I believe this morning that the Holy Spirit is drawing all of us to this place of recommitting our life to focusing solely on Jesus, where nothing else matters but Him. And everything that I do is going to be about Him. The way you are with your spouse, your marriage is about Him. Your kids, it's about Him. Your purpose is about Him. Your schooling is about Him. Your career choice is about Him. Every dollar in your bank is about Him. And I believe it's going to be so powerful, because if we make this little adjustment in our heart, we see everything else different. But then we also see Him different. And we realize on a deeper level that He is worth surrendering to completely.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. To watch our latest message, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Free Chapel OC.